From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. We're delighted that you've joined us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns continues a message entitled, Hallowed Be Thy Name, Our First Concern in Prayer, part of this series of studies in the Lord's Prayer. Before Dr. Cairns comes, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought taken from C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is called Like Palm and Cedar. The text is Psalm 92 and verse 12. The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. These trees are not trained and pruned by man. Palms and cedars are trees of the Lord, and it is by His care that they flourish. Even so it is with the saints of the Lord. They are His own care. These trees are evergreen and are beautiful objects at all seasons of the year. Believers are not sometimes holy and sometimes ungodly. They stand in the beauty of the Lord under all weathers. Everywhere these trees are noteworthy. No one can gaze upon a landscape in which there are either palms or cedars without his attention being fixed upon these royal growths. The followers of Jesus are the observed of all observers. Like a city set on a hill, they cannot be hid. The child of God flourishes like a palm tree, which pushes all its strength upward in one erect column without a single branch. It is a pillar with a glorious capital. It has no growth to the right or to the left, but sends all its force heavenward and bears its fruit as near the sky as possible. Lord, fulfill this type in me. The cedar braves all storms and grows near the eternal snows, the Lord Himself filling it with a sap which keeps its heart warm and its boughs strong. Lord, so let it be with me, I pray Thee. Amen.
He shall drink, nor yet for your life.
One of the most precious gifts God has given to mankind is the Bible, the Holy Scriptures. For those in the English-speaking world, the ability to own a copy of God's Word is taken for granted. Indeed, many of us possess multiple copies of the Bible. Yet, this was not always the case. There was a time when attempts to translate the Bible into the language of the common people were met with persecution and even death. Men like John Wycliffe and William Tyndale were hunted like outlaws simply because they labored to give God's Word to people in the language they could understand. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to make available a booklet that briefly traces the history of those efforts, entitled How We Got Our English Bible. This short publication tells the story of the development of the authorized version of the Scriptures as we know it, including the enormous impact of the invention of printing upon the spreading of God's Word. Published by the Trinitarian Bible Society, this booklet is free to all who request it. Simply email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. If you prefer regular mail, simply write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your copy of How We Got Our English Bible, and we'll be happy to provide it. Continuing his studies on the subject of prayer, Dr. Cairns is examining the first petition of the Lord's Prayer, Hallowed be thy name. This stands as the first and foremost request, for it must be our desire that God hallow his holy name. God is to be approached with due regard for who he is, the high and lofty one who inhabits eternity. Flippancy and familiarity have no place in true prayer. Now here is Dr. Cairns to continue this message entitled, Hallowed Be Thy Name, Our First Concern in Prayer.
Well, what I want to establish is something very plain, very, very obvious. And that is that our first and greatest concern in prayer is that the Lord's name should be hallowed. Never forget that. That's the first great concern of God's people in prayer. Let me emphasize it. Our first concern is not the blessing. The blessing of God is a wonderful thing. It makes rich. He addeth no sorrow with it. In my sleepless hours last night, I was reading a little of the diary of David Brainerd. Here was a young man who was seeking God with all his heart, with all his soul. He was seeking God's salvation. He was seeking the blessing of justification and the blessing of the forgiveness of sin. And the more he sought, the more he became discouraged. The more smitten he became. Sometimes his heart would be up, but more often than not, he'd be cast down to the ground. And then he described how, on the 12th day of July, 1739, God revealed himself to him. And it was really through the words of John chapter 7, where the Lord Jesus spoke on the last great day of the feast of Tabernacles. And he gave that great promise that whosoever believes in Christ, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. And as he contemplated that passage of Scripture, it seemed like the glory of God came down upon him. And he realized, I have been seeking God, but my whole mindset has been the blessing. The whole mindset has been me, my salvation, my sin, my peace, my comfort, my joy, my everything. Now I realize that when I approach God, the first and great thing, and that will lead to these other things in due course, but the first and great thing is the absolute glory of God. The absolute glory of God. That's what the Lord Jesus is teaching us when he says, this is how you pray. First and foremost, your concern is that the Lord's name should be hallowed. Now let's start right at the very beginning and establish the meaning of the terms. The word name is not just a title by which men conveniently refer to God. The word name literally and simply means God Himself in all His revealed perfections. God as He has revealed Himself in His Word. That's the idea of the word name here. It's His nature and character as He has shown them forth in Scripture. In the 20th Psalm, for example, in verse 1, we read, the Lord hear thee in the day of trouble. The name of the God of Jacob defend thee. There is a parallelism there. The second explains the first, and the first the second. The Lord is the one who hears you. His name defends you. The Lord and His name are one and the same. In verse 7, we read, some trust in chariots and some on horses, but we will remember the name. That is the nature and the character of our God. We have read this morning in Exodus 34 where the Lord proclaimed His name. And how did He do it? He went on to say who and what He was. In Isaiah chapter 30, there's this statement in verse 27. The name of the Lord cometh from far, burning with His anger. That's not just a title, that's a person. The name of the Lord, what is it? It is God in all His perfect nature and character as He has revealed Himself in Scripture. And that's what the Lord Jesus means when He says, hallowed be thy name. It is thy person revealed in the Word. The word hallowed means sanctified. Now, what does it mean? Let the Lord's person or name be sanctified. Isaiah 57:15 tells us that His name is holy. So the word sanctify here cannot mean make holy or become holy. For God cannot be made holy. God is holy. God cannot become holy. God is holy. So this hallowed or sanctified means rather display your holiness. Proclaim your holiness. Show forth the holiness of your name. The root meaning of the word is separation. It is difference. The whole idea of a difference When we pray, hallowed be thy name, the word hallowed means set your name apart from every other name. Set your name above every other name. Those are the simple terms that the Lord Jesus uses. Now, notice that he puts them in the form of a prayer. This is a petition we are asking of God. Let your name be hallowed. Let the entire person, nature, and character of our God as he set forth in Scripture, let the God of Scripture be proclaimed in all his holiness. That's a prayer. And that teaches you something very vital. That those who have a concern for the Lord's name must make it a matter of earnest prayer. Remember, this is our first concern. And yet, do we not have to confess it? This is the thing that perhaps gets least attention in our prayer lives. When we come to pray, we are so taken up with I and me and my works and my worries and my home and my family and my business and my health and my needs and my this and the other thing. We're so taken up with ourselves that this thing that of all things demands our concern in prayer hardly gets any attention at all. We live in a world in which it is very common for man to profane the name of the Lord. Not just by taking his actual titles vainly upon their lips, but by despising his person, his character, as he's revealed in Scripture. Israel despised him and profaned him before the nations. Ezekiel 36:23 says, I will sanctify my great name which was profaned among the heathen, which ye have profaned in the midst of them. It's a word to the professing people of God. You have profaned my name. I think we could still say the same of the professing church today. Is it true that the atheists and the humanists and the open heathens profane the name of the Lord? Well, that would be true. But where is the Lord's name most viciously and wickedly profaned? It is in professing Christendom, where his name is profaned with false doctrine, where his name is profaned with perversions of the gospel, where his name is profaned with the introduction of human philosophy and the place of divine theology. The more I read of modern theology, the more I am scandalized at how almighty men, so pumped up with pride in their puny little intellects, will not accept God as God has declared himself to be. And therefore they trim the entire revelation of God and they fashion an idol of their own liking. And you can look at every branch of apostate theology. You can call it by whatever name you will. I'm not going to take time even to go through the various branches of modern perversions in that realm. But you can go into any part of it, and ultimately it is idolatry and the profaning of the name of the Lord. And of course, it's not only wicked doctrine that profanes the name of the Lord, it's evil living. David caused the enemies of God to blaspheme. It's a very interesting thing in the Jewish Masorah. The scholarly edition of the Masoretes of the Old Testament text. And they have ways of marking peculiarities in the text. And they mark that text. And they really are saying that the translation, "He caused the enemies of God to blaspheme," is trying to save a little face for David. Because, as they found the text, it said David, by his evil living, blasphemed the name of the Lord. There's a lot of truth in that, you know. You don't need to curse and swear to blaspheme God. You just need to name his name and then live like a worldling. That blasphemes God. And it causes others to blaspheme him as well. It is profaning his name. And very often men will profane his name by the very things that they do in his name. And they say for his glory. When people get away from this book and they start inventing ways in which to serve God, the likelihood is they will not serve God, they will profane his name. That's why as a Protestant and as a Presbyterian, I believe in what is called the regulative principle of worship. I believe that our worship must be based upon that book. What we say and what we do must either be commanded by or be allowed by or come as necessary consequence of what is said in that book. God is interested in how we worship. And we are not permitted to introduce into the worship of God anything that happens to tickle the fancy of man at a given point in time. I heard a leading charismatic say recently about certain programs, "I couldn't watch these things, but oh, they're good for young people. Because while I couldn't listen to the hard rock music, yet the music speaks to young people. I'm sure it does, but I want to tell you it's not the message of God that's given them." The whole idea we can introduce whatever we like into worship just so long as somebody out there likes it. We'll end up profaning God's name. Not promoting it or proclaiming it. Nadab and Abihu took fire. God said it's false fire, and he damned them for it. King Saul felt he was put into a corner. Samuel's late for the sacrifice. We can't go out to battle without the sacrifice. Instead of reasoning as a man of God, therefore if I can't go to battle without the sacrifice, and the priest is not here to offer the sacrifice, therefore the time for battle is not yet. Instead of arguing like a man of God, he invaded the priest's office, and he did what he ought not to do. And he said, "I did it to serve God." But God said, "You profaned my name," and he put him from the throne. Isaiah says in 66 verse 5, "Hear the word of the Lord, ye that tremble at his word. Your brethren that hated you and cast you out for my name's sake said, let the Lord be glorified." A direct parallel to what the Lord Jesus warns us of in John 16, verse 2. "They shall put you out of the synagogues, yea, the time cometh, that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God service." There are people who are setting out to do things in the name of the Lord, and all they are doing is profaning his name. Thank you.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.